why would we bother doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. That would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for taking some time out of your week to hang out with us and to hear us talk about comic books and what it's like behind the scenes. Man, this next couple of weeks, if you are curious about marketing and that side of everything, you're going to want to bust out the notepad. We have Tier from Sovereign Universe with us for 2 weeks, and we were going to split up the episode and do a discussion about marketing and then go into a discussion about world building, but we ended up just recording 2 hours of marketing. You know, I think it'll do great for people. So bust out that notepad and get ready to take some notes. Super excited about this. This is a new guest, someone that we have recently come in contact with. Got to do a show with him, and then got to turn around and do this recording as well. So we hope you guys enjoy it, and come back next week for part 2.
All right. Well, we're recording. We're not live. We're just recording. Podcast time. We're here with Tier. That's how we're going to refer to him. Feels weird, but whatever.
Yeah. Tier feels weird. Okay.
Well, because Tier. I know you as the Soverse guy, so that's.
Oh yeah. Hey, there you go, Tier the Soverse guy. There you go.
There you go.
That is me.
and Matt is with us as well. Matt, you don't want to say hi or anything?
What's up, everybody?
So you're new to the podcast, which is great for us. We're also newer acquaintances, I guess, in the realm of comic books. So I'm excited to have you on here. And we're just going to talk about really our show is a lot of people that are either getting into the whole indie comic book community or learning how to make comics. We do have people that listen to it that have been making comics for forever. But they just want to hear that, you know, behind the scenes talk, real talk. Man.
The dirty stuff, huh?
The dirty stuff, man. Yeah, we try to be brutally honest with stuff. Yeah.
It's more than drawing, I'll say that much. I'm pretty sure y'all probably beat that over the head a lot.
It's more than drawing. But the funny thing is people still need to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as many times as you hear it, it's still not enough for some reason.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's start. Tell us a little bit about you, your background, and then if you want to, you can launch right into kind of how you got into comics.
Oh, sweet. No problem. Well, name's Tier. That's what I go by. Well, Tyrone Jackson, but I go by Tier. a little bit about me. I've been writing literally since first grade. Got in trouble with a lot of the stories that I wrote because a lot of them were horror, which is what I started off with, like reading Stephen King since elementary school, started with Firestarter, things like that. I always wanted to get into, you know, to do something with either art or writing. I used to act also when I was younger. You know, my sister were both models too. The long story. So I've always wanted to get into that, right? But as I grew up and everything, you know, my mom's like, hey, make sure you have a backup job. I started looking into other things. Graduated from high school. I didn't graduate with honors or anything like that, but played football. So I got
I did it.
I got out of there. I played football, ended up getting a sports and academic scholarship to a D3 school to play football. I quit and transferred to another college. And then left college and went into the military after. Right. So that was like in 2002, went into the
military. Make up your mind here.
I know, right? I don't know what I'm gonna do. What am I gonna do? You know, so I went into the military, went into the Marine Corps. I was in the Marines for 4 years. My mom being Army, she was like, are you sure? I was like, well, granddad retired the Marine Corps, so I should be fine. You know, I come from a military family. Somebody was in some sort of branch or both. Which I ended up being in both. I was in Marines for 4 years, went into the Army, went in the Army for 9 years, and then eventually I just woke up and said, hey, you remember you wanted to make comics and do animation and all that other stuff? How about you get back into that? So I went back to college for media arts and animation. And that whole time I was in the Army deployed and stuff like that, I was writing my stories, and I didn't realize that these stories would eventually become the Sovereign Comics universe. But they did, you know, and I was writing these stories in 2009, September 2009, matter of fact, to be for specifics. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do comics. And I started figuring out the name, went through a whole bunch of names, finally landed on Sovereign Comics, registered my company. Like I said, I was going to school for media arts animation at the time, but then something was like, hey, you're drawing every day. Why are you going to school for art? You know, go to school for business. And I was like, all right, you know, so I changed to business and got my bachelor's in business development and my MBA in marketing. And with all of that being said, I work in IT because I've been in IT for 20 years. So I did IT in the military and I did IT off and on in the Marine Corps. It wasn't my job in the Marine Corps, but in the Army, I did IT. So I was doing that for off and on for 20 years. Got a job out here in the civilian world doing IT while working in comics and stuff like that. And published my first book in 2016. Even though I started the company, you know, figured out I wanted to start a company in 2009. I registered a company in late 2011. I didn't do my first book until 2016 because I'm the type that likes to plan and meticulously plan things before I do it because I don't like to be surprised. So like, I don't want to like do something and then like, oh shit, taxes.
Okay. Yeah, you're fine.
Sorry about that. But you know, like, oh shit, taxes. Like, oh man, that's a thing. So I did a lot of planning and everything to try to get everything to where I wanted it to be. And then I decided to release my first book. And still, because I don't like to be surprised, I released a book that wasn't part of I guess I would say the main stable. Like this book takes place like 600 years in the future. And I released that book first just to get a feeling, you know, to get those errors. And because, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. Even if we've done 10, 20 books, we're still making mistakes. But I wanted to get all those jitters out of the way, you know, because that first printing was freaking horrible. Like it was so bad. It was so bad. And a lot of it was on my part, you know, because I didn't really know, even though I planned and practiced and looked at things and asked people questions, and some people didn't give me answers or push me the other way, you know, it still wasn't at that professional level that I would have liked. And so I'm glad I started with that book rather than my flagship comic, which is Cypher Team, because, mm-hmm. you know, you start with the flagship and it comes out, you know, crappy. People are like, ah, that guy, he's not for real. So after I started learning things, you know, and then finally got to the flagship, you know, actually I released another book before the flagship, and then I finally released and then at that point everybody was kind of like, oh, okay, he's legit. And then now it's just slowly building from there. And where I really messed up at is I didn't understand marketing. There's something that I kind of fell into that I think a lot of people in the indie world fall into, where it's like, oh, I'll show you a picture or a panel or a sneak peek. I'm not going to show you everything because I don't want you to know what's going on, or I want to keep it a secret. I was that guy.
Right.
That's not good. I learned later on that is not good, because we're playing in an arena where we literally have like our, even though people don't want to say, oh, Marvel, DC, they're my competition. I mean, in the end, they kind of are our competition. Because that's who people are reading.
Right.
And they have almost 100-year head start on us. You know, yeah. So it's like everybody knows those characters. You know Superman's story, you know Spider-Man's story, you know Batman's story, you know about the X-Men, you know how Professor Xavier got in his wheelchair. So if I'm presenting something, I'm like, hey, read Cypher Team, what is it about? I don't want to tell you. You'll find out when you read it. People are going to be like, no, I'm not going to take that chance. I'm going to read this book, you know? So that was some of the things that I learned going through my MBA in marketing, how to do that without revealing too much. And I think it's been helping because things have been growing now. It's like I finally got that traction going, you know, and things are launching forward the way that I think is beneficial. You know, I don't want to get to the point where I'm mega big. I like being indie in the indie world, being amongst other indie creators. I don't want to get hella big. Like, to me, that's not my goal right now. My goal is to put out, like we were talking on the show, you know, when you were on our podcast, is getting out substantial work, you know.
Yeah,
just doing that, that's my goal. No TV stuff, like whatever. Like people are like, you're gonna do a movie one day, maybe, I don't know, not now.
Like it's the thing we said, we literally talked about it on that other show, is let them come to me about it. That's the difference, is I'd rather rather than me trying to force and wedge myself into places, let them come to me about it.
Exactly, you know, because then they're, when they come to you about it, they're willing to do more things rather than you going to their door and knocking and saying, please make a movie for me. You know, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, sure. Let me have that intellectual property.
Yeah.
Sign it away from you, you know. And that's not my plan. I'm planning on doing this forever as long as I'm breathing, and hopefully I can pass it on. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, well, I'm gonna let Matt, if he has a question to ask.
I'm not right now. I mean, I think we're gonna get into the marketing. That is something that we really want to talk about. That's something we want to personally learn, because we're at that point now where it's like we know that's our next step of growing. You know, we've got a couple books out. You know, I'm sure it's the same thing. The thing me and Aaron love talking about is the business side of it as well as the creative side of it, because so many people skip out on it.
Right.
And that's a huge mistake. That's a big downfall.
It really is. I think that's where the biggest failures are at, is the business side of things. A lot of people just think, like we were saying earlier, you know, oh, it's just art. It's just me drawing and making a comic. But no, you have so much more. You got the financial side. You have your shipping side. You have your marketing and branding side. You know, you have your, even if you're contracting individuals, which technically that's what you're doing, unless you have them on some type of full-time payroll where they're a long-time artist, you know, that's still HR. You know,
yeah.
So you're, all of this is business, and a lot of people don't understand that part of it, you know?
I think the funny thing is you'll see people, and you'll see people that have books that, I mean, we could be honest, don't look that great, but they're fantastic at marketing.
Exactly.
And then you see these guys that have these amazing books, amazing artists, amazing writer, and they get nothing.
Exactly.
And they think that, hey, this is a product and it's just going to sell itself. We don't even have to do anything. It's so pretty.
Yep.
And it just doesn't work like that.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, when it for us, like when you're getting customers, it's, you have to go out and knock on that digital door or knock on the physical door. I mean, whichever works, like, especially. Not right now. Make sure you like knock with it, like six foot pole and knock on the door. Right. Make sure you're back because there's a pandemic. But you know, like you're trying to get into stores, you know, you have to knock on those digital doors, knock on those physical doors of the stores, show them your product, you know, don't be afraid to explain your universe more. Like I said, like I was that guy in the beginning. I was like, no, I don't want to explain stuff because I don't want people to know too much, because will they buy the book if I'm telling them everything? And even still now, how some people come to me and they're like, why are you telling folks so much? Like, are they going to buy the book? I was like, you know what I've been figuring out? Telling them the stuff makes them buy the book, because now they're like, oh wow, that sounds interesting, let me go get the book so I can learn more. Because I have a lot of people now who they'll come to the lives that I do on Instagram, which I need to spread out to YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. They'll listen and they're like, holy crap, you have all of that going on? I didn't know that. I'm gonna go buy the book. Like it does the exact opposite that what a lot of us think. A lot of us think they're gonna be like, oh, really? That's what's going on? Nah, I'm not gonna buy the book. I'm just gonna sit here and listen to your campfire stories. Like, no one's gonna do that. Like if they want it, they're gonna buy it, you know. Now there are people out there who aren't. I mean, and that's just the way the things go, you know.
Right. But were they ever going to anyway?
Exactly. And that's the bigger question, you know. Like I've seen people who will create certain things, or they will, they have a type of drawing that they will present, and then somebody will be like, oh, why are they so revealing? And I've had people come to me, I'm like, how do you handle it? I'm like, well, I just look at it like this. Where are they ever going to buy it? Is that an individual who has bought my stuff before? Is that an individual who has come at me before and said, you know, I love your books, but I wish, you know, her boobs weren't out, but they buy my books? Then I will be like, okay, well, maybe I should listen to this person because they're actually a customer. But if there's some random that I've never talked to before and they're like, the boobs are out, I'm like, who are you? I've never talked to you. Where did you even come from?
Have you read
this book? You know, so it's like, and with some people, like they kind of get angry with me about that. Like, well, you shouldn't have come at me like that. Well, no, you shouldn't have come at me the way you did. You should have came at me more presentable. Like, hey, I like your books. Can I read one? And then get into everything, figure out why the character is the way that they are. and then present your idea. You know, like for me, I'm all about the customers. And the what people don't understand is the customer is the individual that buys.
Yeah.
Right. The individual that sits in the corner and says, hey, you use too many cuss words. If they're not buying, they're not a customer. And I mean, it's harsh, and some people don't want to hear that, but that's the way it is. You know, that's mm-hmm. how, you know, no one counts like mega companies like Apple. And that's the reason why like a lot of people look at Apple and they're like, wow, this stuff is so expensive. But then when you look at them, they don't have an Apple device at all whatsoever. And it's like, okay, but you're not their customer. Their customers are going to go and buy it. And they know that. That's why their mm-hmm. stuff is expensive. You know, they're pointing to their customers. They know what their customers will buy. They know their customers don't have a problem with buying that expensive product. Mm-hmm. Now, if all of their customers stood up and said, hey, Apple, you know, Asus is selling the same laptop with the same specs and their stuff is $1,000 cheaper. Can you lower the price? Apple might be like, oh, wow, everybody's saying it. All of our customers are saying it. Let's lower the price. You know, see, but, and that's how business works. But
yeah. See, what's funny, too, is you say that, but then like you see people that want to spend more money because they feel like that higher price point makes it exactly. worth more, even if it is the exact same thing,
exactly.
with a different name. It's so funny.
Very true. And that was one thing I had to battle too. Like, I was like, man, how do I charge? What do I charge? And it's weird. Like whenever I was going through business school and stuff, and we learned about that part. And that's the crazy part. Cause a lot of people don't know marketing is also the side that sets the prices for mm-hmm. everything. And some people don't know that. So that's your marketing team. They're setting the prices because they're gauging and looking at what your competition is doing. Okay, well, how much are their comics? Okay, well, we need to be somewhere where we're not over them, but we're either the same or we're just slightly below. But you also don't want, and this is the crazy part with businesses, because a lot of people think businesses don't work together, but businesses kind of have this this invisible treaty, I guess, where they don't mm-hmm. undersell each other. And a lot of people don't know that. It's like, why do you think Pepsi and Coke are both the same price? Right. Like, one isn't going to be higher than the other. One is going to be higher than the other. One is going to be more and less than the other, because they don't want to undersell each other. Because when you start doing that, then you start getting rid of your competition, and your exactly. competition is what's actually keeping you in. They're working together, you know. So you start looking at all of that stuff. And that was one of the things, like I said, I had issues when in the beginning. I was like, man, what should I sell my comics for? Well, should I sell them for 99 cents? Should I sell them for $1? Should I sell them for $4 or $5? And then I started learning about, you know, gauging your, okay, well, how much did it cost when you hired your artist? So if you break that down to how many books you're going to order, you know, what's the actual price that you spent per book, you know, to be drawn? And then on top of that, okay, well, how much did it cost to get printed? How much was it per book? And then you base your price off of that. So I decided for me, it was easier to go with like $5. And I have people that complain about that. They're like, oh, you're selling your books for $5. Marvel and DC doesn't do that. But I'm like, Marvel and DC are also a multi-million dollar company.
Yeah.
And they're selling their books for $4.
And so they're also really getting their books made for way cheaper per year.
Way cheaper. Yeah. You know, they're paying like 10 cents per print. Like, right. I wish I could be at that level to where I'm
at. Let somebody. Me do 10 cents per print.
Yeah. Like, but every run we do is a limited mm-hmm. run where they're printing tens of thousands, nice. 100,000 copies, exactly. you know, like first printing runs of whatever we do, you know, like anywhere from 250 to 4,000, however, you know, it depends on the company. It depends on how big the indie person is and what they're mm-hmm. doing, you know, exactly. so. You know,
and that part matters a lot with that, you know, and is by most, the consumer or the customer, they really aren't going to know that unless they study that. But that's one of the reasons why I do my lives and I talk to people and stuff and I let them know. And then a lot of people, because I've had people say that to me, and then when I explain it to them, they're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. I'm like, yeah, like that's how. I'm not trying to cheat you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really not making anything, because even though I'm selling my books for $5 a pop, I'm really only making about $1 when you take into account, you know, right? shipping mm-hmm. and shipping, which is shipping is a beast.
Oh, that's Lord, awesome. He's preaching now. Praise God.
Like, I don't think a lot of people really consider how much of a monster shipping is. Like,
oh, that, it's, it hurts.
It does. It really does. And that was one of the things I didn't pay attention to either until I started shipping. And I'm like, wow, so this is going to be like $4 to ship this to the other side of the United States? So then I thought too, I was like, well, shall I raise my price? Should I raise it to $8, you know? Mm-hmm. And then again, what I did is I started looking at my competition. What is every other indie creator selling their book for, you know? So I just decided, okay, well, I just put shipping on it. So when people buy it, you know, you get shipping. And a lot of people, some people got angry with that. But I'm like, well, if you want to see more, I have to make money. You know,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's just how it works. You know,
you know what's free shipping? Digital.
Exactly. Like if you don't want to, exactly. And that's what I was telling people. Like I told some people, like I do my digital comics for 99 cents now. I was doing it for $2.99. But when all of this pandemic stuff started going on and people still wanted to read my books and stuff like that, and a lot of people kind of got afraid of ordering, you know, because of things, I dropped it to 99 cents. I was like, okay, I'm gonna drop it down. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, if you don't want to pay the shipping, I have digital for 99 cents. And literally you can buy all of the books for the price of whatever that book and shipping would have been.
Yeah.
It's the books that I have out. Eventually that's going to go up because more books are about to be put out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know,
limited time.
Exactly. Limited time only, you'll be paying that price.
Yeah. But we have to tell people we're not Catalyst Comics Prime. You don't get free shipping.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Like we just can't do it. Like, exactly. They can. There's no way we can.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, because and then there's the how spoiled we are from Amazon. And so I have a lot of people tell me too, I can order off of Amazon and get it for free shipping. Again, Amazon is a $1 billion company.
My book, you can't.
That's cake for them. Yeah. You know, yeah, probably for my book. When I put my books on Amazon, like, you're not going to get those for free. There's free shipping, you know. And that's the thing is like Amazon's a $1 billion company. They can do that. But I think people forget in the beginning, Amazon didn't have free shipping.
Right.
You were paying the shipping was some more times or not higher than the product that you bought. So like you'll buy like a $2 product and pay like $10 shipping, you know, in the beginning of the older Amazon days, you know, right after they, because first they started off as an online library, but now, you know, then they went into being the distributor of products and stuff like that. But in their earlier days of that, that's how it worked, you know. And a lot of people forget that, or a lot of people just don't know that, you know. But I think for us being indie is, I think explaining that, being transparent, explaining ourselves will help. But yeah, it's a monster. Like
I notice a lot of the people that complain about the price of a book being $5 or the shipping, most of the people that complain about that are either like other creators or people that are getting into creation. It's never just like a normal consumer that actually wants your book. I've never really had them complain about paying $5 for a comic.
Very true.
I always have to break it down to people. I say, did you buy a coffee today from the store?
Yeah. There
from,
you go.
from Starbucks? Do you go to Starbucks? I'm sure you go at least once a day. Some of those people that do that. I said, that is $5-6 for a cup.
Yep.
That's what we're asking for maybe like 6 months to almost a year, depending, you know, depending how fast you can get your artists to all work together on one book. $5.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, maybe 10 for like shipping and all that, and then you get a bunch of stickers and all the other cool little things like that. So
yep, you might look up and get a poster, because some days, like whenever I ship out stuff, like if I have a good order week where people have gone through and like ordered a bunch of books, and I'm like, man, you know what, I'm feeling generous, and I'll just start throwing posters in, you know. And
you,
so people
might like, hit us on a good day.
Exactly. You know, people like, and I've had people email me, but hey, I didn't order a poster. I'm like, hey, that's on me. They're like, what? And then they'll come back and buy the rest of the books. You know, and it's like, so you know, like, and that's the thing.
Then they're gonna be mad because you weren't having a good day on that second books this time. Yeah, bro.
You didn't give me a new poster. I'm like, ah, you got stickers, it'll be okay. But
you're welcome.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's odd too. Like you said, and that's the truth. Like most of the people who have complained to me, like we're creators, we're other artists. Like, why do you sell your books for $5? You should sell them for $4. Or people who think they know. Like I ran into those customers who think they know what's going on. And
show me your book. Oh
yeah. Well, I'm still working on it. How long have you been working on that book? Oh, 5 years. Well,
I started when I was 12. I'm 32.
It's like you probably shouldn't be, you know, like I understand taking your time. There's taking your time, and then there's you're not doing a book. Like you're Brian now from Family Guy. You're still working on that novel.
Last 10 years. Right?
So the episode will be split into two parts. So I was going to do a different thing first, but since we're already in marketing, I guess we should probably finish that conversation.
Okay.
Let's get a little bit deeper into what your marketing actually looks like. Take us through that, how you approach it, so what it's looking like.
So one of the things that I've really started incorporating into my marketing and branding is my face. And I know a lot of people probably like, wait, what?
You said the model.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that was the most model thing you could have said.
I know, right? You know, but, so like for a while they're like, I'd never really show.
I put the money maker on the front cover, obviously.
The money maker out there, you know. So like I do lives, you know. And at first I was like, I was nervous about doing it. I was like, oh man, I don't want to show I'm freaking ugly now. Like it's been years. Like I don't want to show my face, but now I'm just playing. But I started realizing that when I started doing those candid pics, you know, like since I live in Colorado and, you know, we get stupid snow sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like I'll take a picture of the snow or take a picture of myself in the snow. Like this sucks. You know, people like that. They're like, oh, you own the company. You know, so people start.
And he doesn't like snow. And he doesn't. I can relate.
Yeah, I can relate to that guy. Then it's like, well, why do you live in Colorado? Well, good job. So, but also doing that and doing live so people can get to know me. That's one of the, I tell some indie creators, not all of them are like that. A lot of them like to show themselves and like to be out there. But then you have the other side. It was like, I'm not going to do that. It's the business front. I'm like, okay, I made that same mistake. I'm telling you from experience, like my follower count on Instagram has grown specifically because of that, because mm-hmm. I've done lives and I've gotten out there to talk to people and I've let them know about the universe and stuff like that. And they like that, you know, they like talking to me, seeing who I am and getting to know me. It's about being friendly because, you know, at one point you remember like the big corporations, you really didn't know who the CEO was. And then all of a sudden came this dude named Steve Jobs, come out as black turtleneck. And now you know who the CEO is. You know? Yep. And he's out here talking to people and presenting stuff. And like everybody else is like, oh, maybe I should do that. People want to know who you are, you know? So that's one thing that I think people should really take into account.
You hear another that everybody... thing, go get your turtlenecks.
Yeah, get your black turtlenecks. I have an orange turtleneck because my company colors are orange. Don't get an orange comfort turtleneck. That's my color.
Let's take it. He only wears it during the summer.
So that helps. And then another thing that helps too is just telling people about your universe. That's another thing that I've built into my branding, and I've done it with my posts also. So one thing that I figured is giving my company that shortening, because you know Marvel has MCU and all the other stuff, DC, DCEU and DC Universe and Marvel Universe, all these, you know, short names and stuff instead of like, you know, the company name. So
right,
I started with the Silvers, which a friend of mine who's also on my think tank team and has characters in my comic universe, I was like, man, we need a short name, something that rolls off the tongue a little easier than Sovereign Comics. Even though Sovereign Comics rolls off the tongue nicely, I think, I was like, we need something shorter, something that makes people feel more involved, you know, that mentions the universe. Mm-hmm. And so he was just like, he just came in, he was like, what about Silvers? I'm like, Silvers. So I was like, I like that. And it really didn't hit me until later how much I can use Silvers. So on some of my posts, I'll have like, you know, so paneled or, you know, silver snippets, you know, and all this other type of things that I use that kind of incorporates it with the Silvers to help build that Sovereign Comics brand.
Yeah,
that I've been, you know, because like now I put like silver snippets and people will come under there, man, I'm loving these silver snippets. And so now it's like that's now I have my own show almost every time I put, you know, pages or panels or whatever and then tell them a little about what's going on. I don't put dialogue in it, you know, I just show them, hey, here's a panel, you know, here's some pages, you know, and just tell them, you know, write up like a little short story write up of what's going on to get people interested in wanting to know, you know. And that's been really helping and building my brand. Mm-hmm. Now, will it work for others? It may or may not, but that's the thing. Like the thing about marketing is trying something and you either succeed or you fail. And if you fail, you figure out, why did I fail? What did I do wrong? And if you succeed, you're like, okay, I succeeded. Let's keep doing it until it fails.
Right.
then you're back to, you know, block one, you know, trying to figure out why that panel failed. Back panel one, trying to figure out why that failed, you know, and stuff
I
like that.
I think we tell people, other people come to us and kind of have that thing. And this is the thing me and Aaron keep doing. It's kind of the same thing where it's, you got to keep trying because if you, everybody's, a lot of people will take it too personal and think mm-hmm. it's, oh, because, I said this or I did this and these people are against me or this is, you know, stuff gets stupid nowadays.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, no, maybe that just didn't work. Exactly. It's okay. Like you said, figure out what it was, try something different and see how that plays out. If that works better, then keep going that way until it fails. Then you yep. throw something else at the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly. And that's the thing too, is like, if you, I don't know. It seems like people have forgotten that little, you know, snippet that we all learned at elementary school. If you first succeed, try again. You know, there's like a lot of people have forgotten that. It's like they don't succeed and they're like, I quit and throw all of that hard work away.
I think that's why a lot of books don't make it past that first issue, is they don't do as good as, like, you go into it thinking, oh, this is going to just be awesome. And it's not as awesome. So people just give up. Exactly. Like, maybe give it a couple of issues at least. You might take a little hit up front, but it might connect. I mean, that's all you want it to do, is if it connects, then boom, you can keep going with it. And you didn't waste your time on the first one.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. And other part of marketing, speaking of that, like you said, like, and that leads into the other part of marketing, which is niches and your groups mm-hmm. and your demographic. Cause a lot of people don't understand how demographic works either.
Yep.
That was something that I learned in school. So you have your demographic, then you have your target demographic. And then, you know, and those are two totally different things. So yeah. Like, I had my target demographic when I came out with Sovereign Comics, who I wanted to gauge at, which of course at that time, you know, people were saying, oh, we don't see enough, you know, Black lead characters and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, well, I can write some stories. You know, I've been writing since first grade. Why not? You know, my target demographic. My actual demographic is not that. My actual demographic is like, mainly at the top, what I've told people, it's so at the top is white males between 25 and 45, and then mm-hmm. it's Black female, white female, Latino female, and Black males are at the bottom. Like, that's literally my demographic. And that was not, you know, that yeah. was not what I was aiming at. That wasn't my target demographic, but that became my demographic. So I had to look at it and say, well, if this is my demographic, why is that my demographic? And then I started looking at things and figuring out things. And what I started realizing is the female demographic that I have, you know, Black women, white women, you know, Latino women, even Asian women, they like the idea, because I have a lot of very powerful female characters and they love that. They love these female characters that are out there doing their thing. You know, yes, I do have different body types. A lot of them are sexy, you know, all this other stuff. And they like that. Like, a lot of them like the characters that are sexy. Like, one of my main characters that they like is Kunoichi. She's like a fan favorite and she's my ninja. She's literally covered from head to toe, but she's super curvy and everybody loves her. They're like, wow, she looks like she works out. I'm like, she's a ninja. She does, of course.
She
works out. You know?
She has I mean, to. She only works out in the shadows, though.
It's in the shadows. No one ever sees it happen. But, you know, so it's like, you know, so they love her. Another one that's been raising up to become popular is Kaiti, which is an alien character that I have that's in my title on Yama Stigmata. And people love her. And with her, she's a little more sultry, you know, her. Mm-hmm. She's a little more revealing. Then Siphon, she's another one that everyone loves. She's a little more revealing. And it's like, I started looking at stuff like that. I'm like, wait a second. This really isn't add up to what the hot speech is right now, because this is that's not what I'm seeing in my books is not what I'm seeing when I step outside my, you know, my personal studio doors and look at, you know, what's the hot take at the moment. So I started looking at that and saying, and then I started looking at, you know, the white male demographic. Why do they like my comics as much as they do? Come to find out, one of my top customers, California, I think he's 50 or 60 or maybe somewhere in between there. And he just straight up told me, he was like, I feel like I'm reading old comics when I read your comics. He was like, they're fun. And he was like, every time I open a book, he's like, I have fun with it from the beginning to end. I was like, there it is.
Yep.
That's what it is that they love. They love the fact that they are having fun. Even though I have Black lead characters, I tell story first. Mm-hmm. That's always my thing with Sovereign Comics, how I always wanted to be. Story will always be first. If political stuff comes in, it will be part of the story. And that is why that demographic is so high. Yep. And I was like, huh, well, that's interesting. Marketing is hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anyone. You're going to get a headache. Like, yeah. I promise you, you're going to get a headache. But in the end, you have to do it. To me, I feel the three pillars of any company, four pillars of any company, of course, is for me is marketing, HR, IT, and finance. You lose any one of those pillars, you're screwed. So you have to pay attention to those pillars. And a lot of people are like, well, IT, how can I do that in my own personal thing? Like, there's a lot of, like, if you're still using social media, that's IT. That's just the marketing side of IT. Like, just, you can figure it out. But yeah, it's just a lot of trial and error. That's the biggest thing that I found, a lot of trial and error. And like I said, when those demographic numbers came back, I was like, yeah, I'm probably hitting my target. And I looked at it, I was like, whoa, no, I'm not. So for me, like, I looked at it, I'm like, well, do I change my target or do I change what I'm doing to get to my target?
Yeah. I think we think very similarly on that same thing. That's something that we noticed as well. There's a couple of things that just tilt hits and that we notice people gravitating toward. One is it's a fun story that still feels like a classic. Mm-hmm. Kind of superhero outing. And then that other side was the whole beefcake thing became such a big joke with it. We're like, let's lean into it. Mm-hmm. And I took a little inspiration off of Tim Seeley's run on Nightwing for that, because he really leaned into the whole beefcake thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hilarious. There's so much you can do with it. And then people just crack up about it. Yeah. And that's why we did like the little tilt heart temporary tattoo for our last campaign.
Yeah.
It's just kind of figuring out what that demographic is, but mm-hmm. why they're your demographic.
Exactly. And that's where it comes, like I was saying, like, do you change your target? Do you stick with that target? Do you stick with that demographic that you've gained, or do you change things around so that you lean more into your target demographic that you suspected? And for me, I was like, well, if my target demographic isn't working, I'm going to lean into the demographic that I have. And that's what mm-hmm. I've been doing. And it's been working. You know, it's been helping. Like, people are still buying. People are still checking them out. People still want more. They're like, when's the next issue coming out? I want to check it out. And people are invested. And that's what you want. You want that investment. And honestly, anybody spending their money on your books more than once are invested. Like, so you can't. In my eyes, I never believed in alienating those who are spending their hard-earned cash to buy my books. I've never believed in that. I always thought that was suicide, in a sense, business mm-hmm. suicide. So like, whenever I see these individuals buy my book, I'm like, okay, well, they're buying them for these reasons, so I'm gonna keep doing things the way that I'm doing them, because obviously that's what they like. Now, if I get to a point to where that demographic starts dropping off or starts tilting, or people or just my customer volume just starts dropping, then I'm gonna say, okay, well, now it might be time for a change, because maybe what they feel like, it's too old fashioned now, or maybe, you know, whatever's going on. And then whenever you run into that, like I was saying earlier, trial and error, you know, what works, what doesn't work. You just throw something out there that's slightly different, see how it does. Just like you said, whenever you all figured out that people like the certain things about tilt, and then you were like, oh, people really love the beefcake, do it. And you did exactly what I'm saying right now. You did exactly that. And now people like that, and people are on for it, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna keep riding this, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Until I can't, you know? So you guys sound like y'all have marketing together. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you, man. So one of the things that I've noticed, I've been pulling away from Facebook quite a bit more. The main reason why is because Facebook really, aside from just normal Facebook issues, the comic book crowd on Facebook are the creators. It's not really consumers at all. They do still back us and everything, and, you know, thankful for all them, for all their help on stuff as well and input. But that's not where the consumer base is right now, and that's what we're starting to realize. So now, we're still young, so we have a little time that we can start messing with stuff. So that's why we're starting to put a little more effort into Instagram. And because I see, like, you guys, like, I get into that chat with, like, the Indie Costume Challenge. Uh-huh. And I was very grateful for that chat, because I didn't know almost anyone in there. And I was like, oh, this is a whole other world of other creators that I didn't know outside, because I never saw anyone on Facebook. So now I've been just pouring through all that stuff and seeing that there's a different, a whole different demographic of creators. So that's been kind of fun for me personally, is jumping on the Catalyst page and then jumping through everybody else's stuff to see what they're doing that's different. So I've been, you know, adding a bunch of y'all.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Like, it's, I've been telling people for the long, like, I tried with Facebook. I tried a lot. And then I realized certain things. Like you said, there's a lot of creators on Facebook. And there's nothing wrong with that. I still have some of my friends that I still talk to are on there. One of my friends, Thomas Johnson, who does Raxon Universe. My other friend, Vonnell Young, who does Delta Dogs. And my other friend, LaShawn Colvin, who does Beautiful Soldiers, which she has a Kickstarter coming out. And then I have some other friends up there who are still on Facebook and still on Facebook heavy. But a lot of us are on Instagram. And I started realizing whenever I started with Facebook, I was like, wow, I really don't get the traction that I want. And I noticed that I wasn't making too many sales. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is odd, you know. And I, at that time, I was all full, Facebook. I'm not going to mess with Instagram, because I was like, Instagram is all about the models and blah, blah, blah. No one's going to pay attention on Instagram.
So then he started taking pictures of himself.
Yeah. And then I started taking pictures of myself. You know, nice poses.
But that's right.
I slowly started integrating more with Instagram, and I started, you know, putting a panel here, a cover there, just to see what would happen. And I would notice that whenever I would post on Instagram, my I had more individuals liking, commenting, sharing than I did on Facebook. And I was like, okay, maybe I jumped on something. Cause like my three friends who are over there, who are still on Facebook, they always tell me like, man, you got Instagram on lock. And I'm like, nah, still learning. Instagram changes too much.
Yeah.
Like it's always changing. But, I started noticing those things, and I was like, well, let me start putting more attention towards Instagram. So then I started learning how hashtags work, which I know they have hashtags on Facebook, but I don't think they work the same way as on Instagram, because on Instagram, people can follow those hashtags. And like, let's say they do like indie comics, they can just follow hashtag indie comics. And every time you post something, they might not be following you, but they'll see posts, you know, and then they'll like your posts. And that might actually bring them to you. Like I've had a lot of people come to me because of hashtag indie comics, or hashtag black comic creator, or hashtag comic creator, or, you know, whatever, or hashtag support indie comics, you know, whatever you use. I've had people come to me because of that. And then I started noticing I was getting way more sales through Instagram than I was on Facebook.
Yeah, write that down, Aaron.
Yeah, especially.
I got a notebook right here. That's what I'm doing while I was talking, by the way. If you see me looking down, it's because I have my notepad open on my phone. Yep.
So, like, especially since, like, I put my link in. Because at one point, I didn't even have my website link. And then when I put it in, I'll put up there, you know how you post in your story, or you're posting in your main feed. And you put, you know, link in bio. Mm-hmm. And I'll do that. And people are like, go to the link. And all of a sudden, I get sales. I'm like, whoa, okay. This is where I need to be at. But the main thing that I tell people, if you're an artist, with the way Instagram works, if you're an artist, you're posting your art. You know, yeah,
it's your portfolio.
So, yeah, it really is. It really is your portfolio for your company. So if you're doing indie comics, you know, post the cool panels, you know, or post the panels that you feel people might like, but also put in that caption and explainer, you know, of what that panel is. Because while some people will just look at the picture and say, oh, that's dope, and like it, some people go the extra mile and read those captions. And then they might message you and be like, wow, hey, how can I get this? Like, that sounded so interesting. Whereas on Facebook, I'll post something and it'll sit there for like 3 months, no likes, no nothing. you know, and I'm just like, wow. And then I also figured out too, on your own Facebook,
then you spiral down in a deep depression. Exactly. What am I doing with my life?
Why don't people like my stuff? Like, this is the same thing I posted on Instagram.
They don't like my art, so they don't like me. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and I have a Facebook page for Sovereign Comics, and I think it has like 4,000 or some odd. 4,000. It has more people who like the page or follow the page than my Instagram page does. But I'm averaging, I would say, 80 to 90 likes per post, 80 to 90 likes, and averaging around 20 comments per post. And I would say probably around 4 or 5 saves, which saves are a huge thing. Like, you get somebody to save your stuff. Like, I don't, the way the Instagram algorithm works right now, if someone will save your post, like, that's a huge thing. That really, really helps out a lot. But I'm getting more communication. I'm able to, you know, I'm talking to more people. I'm getting more traction on Instagram because, in a sense, too, people are more friendly. They're less clicky. That was another thing I've learned about Facebook. Facebook is hella clicky. They don't know who you are. They're not going to say anything. If you're not super popular, they're not going to say anything. And I realized on Instagram, it didn't matter if I was popular. It didn't matter if I had a blue check mark. It didn't matter if I was, you know, some company was looking to make my comic into a movie. None of that stuff didn't matter. People just liked the fact that I was posting art and telling them a story of that artwork. And then they're like, I want to know more. Is this a comic book? Yes, it is. Is it out? Yes, it is. Can I buy it? Yes. I'm not going to stop you from buying my book.
You sure can.
The link's in the bio, you know, and then that's how my conversations usually go on Instagram. On Facebook, it's usually like, what's this? In the caption. Did you read it? And then I never get anything back.
Yeah. And
it's
like,
I always get, I saw you were doing stuff on Facebook.
Did you?
Cool. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to really look. I just saw that you were posting stuff. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love those conversations. I get those conversations, and then like I'll do a Kickstarter, and people are like, I didn't know you were doing a Kickstarter. I didn't see it on Facebook. It's like, I literally put it on my page and my personal page, and you follow me on both. You're friends on my personal page, and you follow my other page. How did you not see it?
Well, those algorithms on Facebook are
follow me.
They are. What I noticed on Facebook, like I just did like a little quick, just like a little quick test to see what it was that Facebook would prioritize. Mm-hmm. And I snapped a picture of me going back to the gym. And I put that up there. And I think when I snapped that picture, it was after I had gone through physical therapy for my, and was going to a chiropractor for almost a year for my spine, because, you know, carrying heavy crap and jumping out of crap in the military, it really does a number on your body. Like, right. So I realized thing. That. Yep. So I realized that. And so I started going to a chiropractor, going through physical therapy to try to get my spine back together. And so I had stopped going to the gym, and then I started going back to the gym. So I put up there, you know, the story and everything, you know, been out of the gym for a while, gained some weight, I'm trying to lose it, which it was the truth. I didn't lie, you know. But I noticed that caught more traction than, hey, here's my new comic book.
Oh, dude. That's what finally threw me over the top of just like, you know, I'm pretty much done with Facebook. Anytime I post something stupid, it's like, oh, all these people do still see my stuff.
and so I started figuring.
Just do a picture of you reading your comic book at the gym, and then do that. Like, you know, presses with the book.
Yeah, with the book. I should try that. You know,
that would be a funny little marketing campaign, I think.
It would be. I should try that and see what happens. Just see what happens. And if it works, I'm gonna be like, that's my way back into Facebook.
Working out my creativity in my body.
See, there you go. And see, ladies and gentlemen, that right there is marketing and branding.
That's right. That's where most of our stuff comes from. It's just stupid ideas.
And the crazy part is a lot of those stupid ideas is like that's the gold for you, you know, because you think you're like, man, this is dumb, and it's like, now let's just do it, and then you do it, and people are like, that's funny, you know, and then you go from there, you know, and wow, it's now I'm really thinking about that.
Now he's taking notes.
Yeah, I'm over here. I'm taking notes now.
Go ahead, man. It's all but, you could use it.
But it's interesting though, the Facebook thing. And then what I figured is I thought to myself, I was like, well, is it that people just don't care? Or is there some type of weird thing with the algorithm? Yeah. And that's what I was leaning to. I was like, people just don't care. You know,
obviously just that they don't care. Like I said, you know, if you can post just a stupid joke and get like, you know, 30 or 40 people that like it or comment on it, and then you post something that you're actually dedicating your time and money into, and you can't even get like 2 likes. And they're like, it's just not even worth it.
Also too, like, I feel a lot of people don't, as much as you want to think people have your back, people are jealous of you succeeding.
Very true.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but that's it's not that feeling. It's just so if somebody tells a dumb joke, it's funny and you could both laugh. But when somebody sees you doing things that are progressing your life or you're mm-hmm. you're actually doing something other than going to work, watching a movie, mm-hmm. average things, you're going above and beyond it. I feel like a little bit of salt comes out and they're yeah. like, and they don't want to like it because it's one of those things where it's like, oh man, I could be doing this thing that I've always wanted to do, but I'm not
doing it. Yeah.
You know, like, and it's kind of that realization of like, oh man, I could stop watching this movie right now and be working on this book or, working on my garden I've always wanted to do or whatever it is that people mm-hmm. have a passion for, but then they just don't. And it's so much easier to just, oh, well, they're whatever. And then just scroll by you instead of looking at somebody else and getting motivated to be like, you know what? I'm going to go do something.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that. And like me, I'm always the type that whenever I see my friends win, it motivates me.
Dude, for sure.
You know, exactly. So it's like, and I don't know, maybe individuals like that, individuals like us who see our friends win and they were like, oh shit, I gotta step on my game, let me win.
Right.
Like you don't take the negative part of like, oh man, they're winning, well fuck them, like I'm not that type of person, you know. I'm like, oh crap, then I go to them like, congratulations, but you know I'm coming for you, right? It's like healthy rivalry.
Competition is a good thing, like a good competition where it's not malicious or mm-hmm. vindictive. It's just, oh man, you know what, it's kind of like me and like Aaron, we have this conversation of like the Kickstarter videos. Mm-hmm. All right, we see one and we're like, oh, we about to step it up, hold on.
Yeah.
let's check it out. Oh, I like it. Oh, I like what they did, you know what. Mm-hmm. All right.
And the cool
we gotta go do something. And it's such a good thing, it pushes you.
It really does. And the cool thing that I noticed too is like, most of the individuals who are indie comic creators that I have met on Instagram are like that. Mm-hmm. Like they see me do a video. Like at one point I was doing like these videos of my characters, you know, and it'll show their picture and then it'll flash to like, and it'll show their profile, you know, tell you a little bit about them and just flash through all these things, telling you about them. They were like, oh, that's dope. Okay, I'm gonna do that. I'm like, go ahead, do it. You know, it's like, and to me, that's, I'm like, that's fine. You know, like, I'm not gonna, you know, they didn't really come in. They're like, every time they see something, like, oh man, you stepped it up again. I guess I gotta step it up. And I'm like, yeah, like every time you step it up, I'm gonna step it up.
So that's right. That's every time.
You know, you shouldn't get depressed or, well, fuck those guys. You know, I'm going home.
Right.
Like, but I don't know. Maybe that's the competitor in me because I played sports pretty much my entire life. And maybe that's the competitor in a lot of us. Like, I don't know if y'all were big into sports growing up and stuff like that, but I'm always competitive. Like, I don't get depressed when I see my friends doing well. Like, I look at it, I'm like, ah.
Well, I think a lot of...
I slept on that. I need to fix this.
I know Matt and I have a little motivation that I know everyone has, whether they want to admit this or not. But we've talked about this. But it was more so when we started getting into things and you meet those people that kind of screw you over multiple times or whatever. Yes. Or just life stuff. And then eventually when you finally do it, yeah, a little bit of it was out of spite. Yeah. So then it's like, oh, I did that. Now I'm just going to keep going.
And to be honest, when I first started out with stuff, just like how you mentioned, I don't know how often y'all ran across this, but I know I ran across it a lot where I would go and ask someone, hey, how did you do this? Or, hey, what printer do you use? Or, hey, do you know where I can find artists? Not necessarily saying I want your artists. I just want artists, you know? And so I had people who would give me wrong information, you know, or would not answer at all. One person in particular, I sent them my story, and I sent them my story to read, and they didn't even answer back. And I was just like, what the hell is that about? You know, so it was weird.
Because he was hoping it was going to be bad.
Yeah, it was really weird, you know. So it really shocked me, and in a sense too, it kind of, like you said, it kind of, you start doing things out of spite then, because you're like, okay, well, if I'm going to you and I'm asking for help, I'm not trying to steal your artist, I'm not trying to steal your way of doing things, I'm just trying to ask for a compass, because it seems like you've been in this for a lot longer than I have, you know, and I'm just, even if your answer is, hey, just go Google it. That's more than just not saying anything or pushing me the wrong direction, you know? Yeah. And that's the part I don't think a lot of people like for me, like people will come to me and they'll ask questions and I help them and they'll come back. Well, why are you so helpful? I'm like, because I've been shat on.
Exactly. You're literally hitting on the entire purpose of why this podcast exists. Mm-hmm. It's because when we got into it, we couldn't find any information about like what it's actually like working in indie comics and behind the scenes and who people talk to about this particular thing or printing and all that. So then when we started the podcast, it's just like, dude, we'll pull the curtains back on just about everything. I don't really care.
Exactly, you know, and I think we need more of that. That's the reason why I'm so helpful. And people are like, well, who do you print through? And I'll tell them my printer. I'm like, and that's the part I never really got. Like, you ask somebody, well, who do you print through? And they don't tell you. Like, dude, you're not gonna lose your printer if I go to them. Yeah. you're just giving your printer more business. Exactly.
Well, they want you to like make the dumb mistake. I feel like a lot of people feel like you should have to learn the hard way like you did. You know what I'm saying? Like they're like, well, I had to do a book at Kablam and pay, you know, way over the price I should have when I could have went to, you know, the other places that, you know, everybody tries and sits there and gets a lot cheaper. It's like, you should do a couple books like that and just overpriced and charge and lose a bunch of money so you can learn and figure it out yourself. And it's like, why would you do that? Just tell them, hey,
just tell
them. It's not going to sell your book.
Exactly. Like it really isn't, you know, unless, I mean, for me is like, all that stuff is like, you just created a monster, really. That's just being like that. That's all you created was a monster. Yep. So like I went out and I started learning things. It's like you didn't create an individual that's gonna come back and say, thank you for not telling me. Now the only thing I want to do is crush you. Exactly. That's my whole goal.
That's where the malice comes in.
Like, exactly. You know, that's my whole goal in life. It's like, okay, you didn't tell me. All right, fine. I went out, found out on my own. Now my whole goal is to crush you. And honestly, that's what I've done in the process. Like a lot of people treat me like that. I've left them in my wake. Like there's a lot of people who were doing comics and they aren't doing them anymore. And it's not necessarily saying I was gauging them particularly, but now it's like, and I've had some come back to me and they're like, wow, you're really growing. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Look, people, we're not saying this because we want to be like this. Mm-hmm. You've made this. You've created this.
You created this monster. Well, the only thing you had to do was, you know, give a little bit of help. Like, I'm not saying, and that's the thing too. Like I hear a lot of people saying this too. And I always snicker and laugh because a lot of people don't know that I have 2 degrees in business. People don't know that. And so when people are like, well, that's how business is running. I'm just like, okay.
sure.
You really think so? It's like, that is not how business runs. Like they are helping each other using the same manufacturers, using the same, you know, using all the same people. And you think they're out here fighting tooth and nail, stabbing each other in the back, talking trash about each other behind their back. Even the marketing campaigns that they do where Pepsi is dogging Coke and Coke is dogging Pepsi. That is a marketing campaign that they plan together to raise both stock. And people don't know that.
Yes, because you can't use the other company's name in your marketing unless you have permission.
Exactly. And that's the thing that people don't get. You know, like, well, I'm not going to give you my trade secrets. Telling me where you go to print is not your trade secret. Telling me exactly how you made your book and exactly how you got your artists and exactly how you pay them or exactly how you pay them bonuses and stuff like that, that could be considered a trade secret. And if you don't want to tell me that, that's fine. But I'm not going to tell you where I print. That's a trade secret. The hell it is. You're not the only person.
Here's the thing. You could tell everybody every single thing, but they still have to do it.
Exactly.
And 90% of them won't because it is a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
And that's the only trade secret, which if they just do the work, they'll figure that part out. And that's what I tell people in the beginning too. I'm like, indie comics isn't easy. I'm like, when people come to me, like there's an individual in the UK and he's starting to build his universe right now. And he was, the name of his universe is Newverse. He's actually on he's actually on Instagram too, and he's starting to slowly build everything up. And he backed a couple of my Kickstarters and stuff like that, and backed him to the point to where he can, you know, because I had tiers where you can get your character put into the comic. So he did that and got some of his characters immortalized then. And then he just came to me one day. He was like, if I wanted to do my own comic book universe, he was like, would that be a stretch? I'm like, no, it's not a stretch. I'm like, anyone can do it. I'm like, however, it is hard. I was like, make sure you have money, make sure you know where you're going at, make sure you have good artists. I was like, you need to start building your team now. I'm like, that's the most important part. I was like, but the thing is with building a team, a lot of people just think, okay, I'm just gonna pay an artist money, and that's great, that's great. However, it's better to find an artist who is just as hyped about your work as you are, because then you're going to get the best artwork from them. They're going to make sure that they give it their all because they want to see you win, and they like the idea of their name being attached to it. And most of the artists that I work with, that's how they are. They love Sovereign Comics just as much as I do, and if not, in most cases more. Like, they're constantly sharing or constantly asking, hey, can I draw another cover, can I when are you ready to work? I'm like, oh, we're still working on that one, hold on, we're good there, you know. And they're just as eager as I am. And some people in the beginning were like, well, that's just because they want to get paid. I'm like, but they can go into anyone and get paid.
Yeah,
they're choosing to come to me, you know?
Can tell the difference in that as well.
You can tell the difference, you know. And maybe it's because I pay them on time, which, hey, any comic creator out there, please don't short your artists. Yeah. Please don't short your editor or your publishing company. Like, that crap has to stop. Like, if you can't afford someone, let them know from the gate, hey, you're kind of expensive, I can't afford you, I can't pay you for the entire book right now, I can only pay you page by page, or what have you. Be honest and transparent with each other, because that also helps build your team. Because that's one thing I tell artists that I have, like the artist that's the penciler for Stars, he lives in Brazil. He's expensive, but I love his art style. And he draws, it's an all-female book, and he draws them beautifully. And I love that. I'm going to keep him for that. But I let him know, hey, we might not be able to do the entire book right now. Mm-hmm. But you can do 5 pages here, 10 pages there, you know, so on and so forth. Because a lot of this I'm still paying out of my pocket.
Yeah,
can't wait to the day where I'm not anymore. But a lot of it I still am. And that's the thing, too. With indie comic creators, be prepared to pay out of your pocket.
Yep.
Like, you, even if you get Kickstarters, I guarantee you out of that Kickstarter, you're going to end up paying something out of your pocket. And it's probably going to be shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think you need to say that louder for the people in the back. because that's the thing. Like, I don't think people understand when they see, right? Even if you do like a $5,000 campaign, it's good. Right. But then you see these people that do these really large campaigns and you're thinking, oh, man, they really hit it big. And they're, yeah, but now they have more backers they have to ship to, more products they have to put in there, heavier it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
90% of that money is going to, like, it's by the time you pay your artist, all your products, getting all your books and everything, like, it's just going to be straight up half your money is gone.
Yeah.
And that is the dramatic way we're going to end the first episode with Tyr from Sovereign Universe. So definitely check out what he has going on. You can find him all over the web. Just look up Sovereign Universe, Sovereign Comics. You'll find him, I promise. A great guy, super great marketing advice, and we hope you guys got something really great out of this conversation. Come back next week for the second part of the discussion. We get even deeper into marketing, and we get even more honest about what it's actually like behind the scenes. Beards and Comics Podcast is a production of Catalyst Comics Studio. For more information about their work, check out catalystcomicsstudio.com, or if you want to get involved with the Beards and Comics discussion, jump over to Discord and look up Beards and Comics.